So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. And may the Lord bless you, strengthen you, and as you worship Him, may you find great blessing from on high to us in this congregation. And I trust, my dear friends, that every Lord's Day you come here to worship, it will not be a waste of time. But really, when you leave this place, each time you will be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now, this morning, my subject is separation, painful, reunion, joyful. Now, years ago, I knew of this young mother who had no choice but to have her mother-in-law take care of her little baby girl. Now, over time, this mother-in-law somehow developed a very strange kind of fondness for this granddaughter. In fact, she became very overpossessive in the care of this little baby, to the extent that she was depriving this young mother of her care for her little daughter. And this young mother felt that this little child of hers was forcibly being taken away from her by her mother-in-law. The tussle between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law became so very, very unbearable for this young mother, particularly when her husband took the side of her mother-in-law. And her husband's opinion or decided that mother-in-law should be taking care of this little baby. So this young mother simply could not take it any longer. She could not bear it. She gave up the fight. And then she decided to go overseas to continue with her studies, just to distract her from the pain of being separated from her daughter. But thankfully, over time, all the three parties came to their senses. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, husband, all came to their senses. Yes, they realized that this mother, or rather, they realized that they had to respect the right of this mother to look after the child. Thankfully, it was so because all three parties were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my point is this. It was really very painful for this young mother to feel that her little child was being taken away from her. Now, really, it wasn't that the little daughter was completely taken away from her. It was just that she felt that she didn't have the complete freedom to look after the child. And already, with that kind of feeling, she was feeling very, very deprived, and she felt very, very painful because she didn't have the opportunity or the ability to look after the child with the kind of freedom that she wanted to have. Now, but what if the separation was complete? If the child was really completely taken away from her, I think that would have been even more unbearable to her. Now, this morning, I want to talk about painful separation, first of all. Painful separation. Now, in this account in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were literally taken away from the church in the city of Thessalonica. You see, remember, they brought the gospel to the Thessalonians, and in a very, very short period of time, remember, Paul was with them maybe for about a few weeks or maybe a few months, and many Thessalonians were converted. And then they were forcibly taken away from them because of persecution. Now, because Paul and company and his two fellow missionaries, Silas and Timothy, brought the gospel to the Thessalonians, they felt that they were spiritual parents to these folks in the city of Thessalonica. That was the kind of strong attachment that they had with them. And so they say this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and you look at verse 11. Paul says, "As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." So he looked upon himself as the spiritual father to those folks in the city of Thessalonica who were converted under his ministry. Then if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." Yes, like a mother nursing her children. That was how Paul and Timothy and Silas saw themselves as spiritual parents to those folks in the city of Thessalonica. Now then, remember, we last week or week before, we realized that it was really the unbelieving Jews, yes, who persecuted the folks in the Christians in the city of Thessalonica. The unbelieving Jews were very, very envious of the success of the ministry of Paul and his fellow missionaries, and they instigated the Thessalonians, the Gentile Thessalonians, to persecute the Christians and to persecute Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And so what they did was they stirred up a riot. The Jews instigated the Gentiles to stir up a riot, and because of this riot, Paul, Silas, and Timothy had no choice but, as it were, forced to leave the city of Thessalonica for the sake of the peace of that city. Now, the separation from the Christians in Thessalonica must have been very, very painful for Paul, Silas, and Timothy. You see, these were their spiritual babies. Their faith was still very, very tender. Young in their faith, they were just saved maybe for a few weeks or for a couple of months. They could be spiritually helpless. That thought made the separation of Paul, Silas, and Timothy from the Christians in Thessalonica very, very painful. So while Paul and the company were away from the Thessalonians, they were very, very concerned that their labor among the Thessalonians was in vain. They were very concerned that it might have been a failure. Yes, they might. They which possibly were thinking in this manner. And I think they thought in this manner, that these folks in the city of Thessalonica could easily fall prey to false teachers. And besides, they were suffering from a persecution, and they could easily capitulate in their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't forget, as we said, the Thessalonians were very, very young Christians, babes, saved only for a few weeks or maybe a few months. Now, because of their great concern for their spiritual children in the city of Thessalonica, Paul says this in chapter 2, verse 17. If you look at verse 17, yes, Paul says this. Yes, we endeavored, the second part, we endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. There was this great desire in him to want to see the folks in the city of Thessalonica again. They were the spiritual babies. The separation was painful, and the pain was quite unbearable, and Paul and company wanted to go back to meet with these folks in that city. Now, although Paul and company were physically separated from their spiritual children, they made sure that spiritually they were in contact. Paul thought of them. Paul remembered them before the throne of grace. And so we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Paul didn't forget them. He made sure that he was spiritually in contact with them. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, you see, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Now, how do we feel, my dear friends, when we are separated from this church, Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, because of studies or because of work? We have got no choice but to be separated from this church. How do we feel? Now, when my wife and I are away from you, of course we do not feel the same kind of pain as Paul, Silas, and Timothy felt, because we are not away from you for a long period of time. Yes, but we do remember you. We think of you. We remember you before the throne of grace. Yes, of course, when we are away, we will be quite concerned about concerned that there might be some disquiet in our midst here, in our absence. Now, years ago, when the congregation was much younger in the faith, when we were away, of course, naturally, we were very, very concerned that some false teachers or some false teachings might creep into the church. Today, I like to think that you are in a better position than you were years ago. you're more mature in the faith, and you would be depending on the Lord, depending on His word, and not depending on any man. So you will not be easily swayed by any wind or by any doctrine. Whether the preacher is around or not, it does not matter. Now, while I like to think this way in regards to your spiritual condition, we must always remember that we have a very, very wily enemy. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. Let us never, ever forget that. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now we must take heed when fellow servants of the Lord Jesus Christ warn us of the possible danger that we are in. Some years ago, this brother Mike Coughlin, some of us here might know him, Brother Mike Coughlin, he's a very, very seasoned preacher, a seasoned missionary, a seasoned soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, very lovingly told me this. He told me this. He said, "Brother, watch it. Watch against unbelief. Watch against false teachers. Watch against the charismatics. And they will try to come into your church to take over your church when it is right for your church to be taken over." Must we take heed, my dear friends, if a dear brother like Brother Mike were to warn us? Must we take heed? Of course we must take heed. He told me that out of concern for us. We must take heed. But you might say to me, Elder Cole, don't worry. We won't fall. We won't become charismatic. Don't worry. We won't embrace the health and wealth gospel. Now, I feel very, very concerned if you tell me that. Because it sounds as if you are very, very confident. And you might be overconfident. One young man from our church in Singapore, Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church, one time went overseas. I don't know for how long he was away, but he told me that he went to a huge, mega charismatic church to have a look-see. Just a look-see, he said. Then I would have thought that with all the basic and good grounding that he had in Calvary Pandan, that he would be very, very, very strong and he would be able to stand up against the unbelief in the church, that mega church. Yes, but he told me this. He said, "I went to the church. You know, actually, the message in that church was not bad. It was actually quite good." That was what he said. Quite good. Now, was it not an indication that this young man was lacking in discernment? Possibly. Yes, possibly. Then, was there not the possibility that if this young man were to continue to attend that church, he might just fall and he might just become a charismatic, just like the rest of the people in the church were? Yes. Now, I also know of some people who grew up in sound Bible-believing churches. Sound Bible-believing churches. They grew up in those churches and who have been warned against the health and wealth gospel and they know the truth. Yes. And then perhaps because over time they developed itching ears, they then got themselves exposed to the health and wealth gospel. And then they say, and then they come up with this opinion with regards to these health and wealth preachers and the messages preached by them. They say the messages are really good. The speakers are really good. Yes. And they even make recordings of these messages of these preachers, and they try to distribute to other members in the church. So, my dear friends, you say that I won't fall. I will not be embracing the health and wealth gospel. Let us not be too sure, my dear friends. Let us not be overconfident. Yes, let us be wary. And you say to me, Elder Cole, don't worry, we won't fall. We will be able to identify a wolf in sheep's clothing when we see one. But friends, I tell you this, a captivating preacher coming here who is really a wolf in sheep's clothing is not going to tell you that I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's not going to tell you that, for sure. His power to captivate may be so great that it will simply overpower your ability to discern. Yes? Realize this, friends. You might be so captivated by him, so captivated by his preaching, that you will be drawn away. So instead of your being confident, I would rather say, urge you to be very, very wary. Don't be overconfident, but rather be very wary. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. You keep your finger at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. All right, let me read for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to verse 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. False apostles transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, or no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. No wonder at all, because their master, Satan himself, is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transferred as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, my dear friends, these ministers, false ministers, are very, very capable of transforming themselves into preachers that look like preachers or ministers of righteousness. Alright, so remember this, our enemy is a very wily enemy. So what's our defense? What's the best defense? The best defense is grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stop growing, keep on growing. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the Word of God is vital. Now we teach this knowledge as we are doing now from this pulpit. And we teach this knowledge at our basic Bible knowledge class. We teach this knowledge at our Sunday Bible study. We teach this knowledge at our study of the Westminster Confession of Faith. We teach this knowledge in our various fellowship meetings, at the YF meeting, at the Uni Fellowship meeting, at the Ladies Bible Fellowship meeting, at our Agape Gathering meetings. We teach the Word of God, my dear friends. Capitalize on these opportunities that you have to learn the Word of God, and learn it well. And then privately, I urge you to study the Word of God. Last night at the Agape Gathering North meeting, again I urge members to acquire the good commentaries. And I suggested to you that you to buy this Sword Searcher, which comes in the form of a CD. But if you prefer not to buy the CD, you can download it from the net. It costs maybe about 60 odd Aussie dollars, and that's about all. And in that CD, you have something like 14 to 16 good Bible commentaries. About 14 to 16. You don't have to buy one whole big library of commentaries. It's all in that CD. Yes? I urge you to acquire that CD or download those commentaries from the net. Yes, equip yourself with these helps so that you will have a very, very sound knowledge of the Word of God. And that will be our best defense against the wiles of the evil one. Now, how do you feel when you are separated from this church? Because you are relocated because of work and or because of study. I hope, my dear friends, that you will feel the pain of the separation. That you will not go away happily, but you feel the pain of the separation. I hope you feel that you miss the spiritual food here. I hope you feel the pain of missing the good fellowship here. I hope you feel the pain of missing the opportunities for you to serve in this church. Yes. And now, is that feeling a good feeling? This feeling of the pain of missing the various good things that you have here. Is it a good feeling to have? I say it's a good feeling to have. Now, I've heard of people who have separated themselves from their churches, and they keep on talking about their churches, the good experiences that they had. They had good feeding, good fellowship, and they had great opportunities to serve. Yes, they talk about all those things, and it's a good feeling to have. But friends, when you are separated from this church, if you go to another place and you have this feeling, it is a good feeling to have. But please don't continue to have that feeling. Yes, don't just lament and say, oh, yeah, I wish I can go back to that church to worship in that church, and so on and so forth. But rather, straight away try to find a very, very good church, a Bible-believing church, a church that gives you good fellowship, a church that gives you good feeling, a church that gives you opportunities to serve. Find that church and join that church and be of good use for the Lord. That's the right thing for you to do. My dear friends, if you ever relocate because of studies or because of work, or are you one who is very, very glad to be separated from this church? You don't feel a pain at all leaving this church. In fact, you're glad to be separated from this church because you say this church is very, very narrow-minded, old-fashioned, and unrealistic in its teachings. Yes, I went to Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church because I had to. My parents expected me to attend Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. My husband expected me to attend Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. My wife expected me to do so. And so I went. Yes, I went. I really didn't want to have anything with Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. And now that I'm separated from this church, hurrah! I feel very, very glad that I have this newfound freedom. I prefer a church which does not talk about repentance. I prefer a church which does not talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I prefer a church that does not refer so much to the Bible, to the Word of God. I prefer such a church. Now, if you feel this way about this church, and if you want to separate from this church, you really need to examine yourself why you are wanting to leave this church. Why are you opposed to the teaching on repentance? Why are you opposed to the teaching on sin? Why are you opposed to the teaching of various biblical truths? Yes, why are you opposing? Why are you opposing the expository method of our preaching here? Why are you opposing all these good things that we have here? I'm afraid, my dear friends, that the real issue really is not about your separation from Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, the local church. I'm afraid that the real issue is that you are really separated from the church universal, the true body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you are not a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not a member of the church universal. That is why you feel so painful, that you don't feel painful at all when you leave Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, which is a true local church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the real issue, my dear friends, is that you really are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why you're opposed to the various kinds of things that we do here. Yes, you don't care to embrace them. And so you decide that you should be separated from this church. So, my dear friends, seriously look into your heart and examine your heart if you are thinking of wanting to separate from this church. Why? Why? I was very gladdened by this testimony given by Dr. Raymond Sachs. He told us about this young man in his church who couldn't stand the preaching of the good old gospel in his church. He just couldn't stand that preaching. One day, he decided to leave the church. And he left the church. And so he went wandering from church to church. And after some time, I do not know for how long, I can't remember how long Dr. Raymond Sachs said this man left the church. But maybe for months or for years, I can't remember. But one day he returned to the church. He realized that after going from church to church, that the various churches that he was going were all not teaching the truth of the Word of God. And he decided that his church, the original church, the church pastored by Dr. Raymond Sachs, was really the right church to go to because it was teaching the truth. And thankfully, he came back. I trust that none of us here are thinking of wanting to separate from this church here. Now, if this church has turned liberal, if this church teaches a gospel that is watered down, by all means, leave this church. I encourage you to leave. Go find a good Bible-believing church to worship in. My dear friends, if this is actually the case with regards to this church. But if this church continues to preach the truth, it continues to preach based on the Word of God, then continue to stay in this fellowship. Don't be like the young man from Dr. Raymond Sachs' church who wasted so much of his precious time going from church to church only to discover that these churches were not teaching the truth and that his original church was the best church, the church that taught the truth. So, my dear friends, stay. Stay if you stay, and if this church is really teaching the truth. Yes, and consider one another. Stay and consider one another, to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Stay and wait with us and watch with us for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, separation is very often very painful. When Adam and Eve separated from the one true living God, when they disobeyed the one true living God, did they not feel painful? I tell you, they felt painful for sure. Yes, they realized that they had lost their fellowship with the one true living God, and they had lost perfect peace. They had lost the happiness that they were enjoying in paradise in the Garden of Eden. And they also realized that because they were separated from the one true living God, they were heading for eternal damnation, for eternal hell. Now, what about the Lord? What about the Lord himself? Did he feel painful that his two creatures who were created perfect in his image were separated from him? Did he feel painful? My dear friends, of course he felt painful. But why did he feel painful? He felt painful because he loved them. That's why he felt painful. And so when Adam and Eve separated from the one true living God because of the sin, God went out to look for them. Yes. And so when Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves from him, we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He called out to Adam, Where art thou? He went searching for Adam and Eve, and he said, Where art thou?" Now, the "where art thou," let us remember here, is not a cry of condemnation. It was not a cry of threat. Where art thou? No, it wasn't that. But rather, it was a cry of grief. God felt painful because his creatures had chosen to separate from him. Now imagine a couple who lost a son in an air crash, and then the plane had crashed into the sea. Rescuers and salvage teams searched the ocean for the bodies of those people who crashed in the plane, and they managed to pull out a few bodies from among the wreckage, but they could not find the body of this young man. Then the two parents traveled up to sea to try to follow the progress of the salvage and the rescue. And when they look over the ocean, surely their heart must have felt very, very painful. Surely from their heart they must have cried out, "Son, where are you? Son, where are you?" But friends, that kind of grief is nothing. It's nothing compared to the perfect grief that the one true living God had when these two creatures of his separated from him. When he cried out to Adam, "Adam, where art thou? Where art thou?" That grief was really very, very painful in the heart of the one true living God. Adam, though alive, had become spiritually dead, separated from the one true living God. Friends, because of our sinful nature, which we have inherited from Adam, we are separated from the one true living God. We have surely grieved him. Yes, we've grieved him. But he loved us. God loved us. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, and the truth is, today we need not be separated from him if we choose not to be separated from him. Yes, if we repent from our sins, we come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be reconciled to him. We will have made peace with him. Romans 5:1, the verse that we are committed to memory earlier on. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Justified by the Lord, by the one true living God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to the one true living God. We have peace with the one true living God. Now the question for all of us here. Now, as I said many times, I really do not know your heart. You do not know my heart. I do not know your heart. But you know your heart yourself. The question is, have you made peace with the one true living God? Have you? Yes, that's the question. Have you? Yes. And you know something? If you are reconciled to the one true living God, you will have made peace with him. And you know, there will be great rejoicing when you have made peace with the one true living God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says this, that there is great rejoicing in heaven. Luke chapter 15 verse 10. Our Lord says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There will be great rejoicing in heaven. Our repentance, our turning from our sin to the one true living God will give him the utmost pleasure. Now let's look at the cause of the separation of Paul, Silas, and Timothy from the church at Thessalonica. What caused them to be separated from the church there? As it were, they were arrested, pulled away from the Thessalonians. Now let us never forget this truth. We said it earlier on already. We have this very, very wily enemy. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now that is the kind of enemies that we have. True, it was the Jews and it was the unbelieving Thessalonians that persecuted Paul, Silas, and Timothy and forced them out of the city of Thessalonica. Now that is absolutely true. But who was behind all this? Who was behind their being forced out of the city of Thessalonica? Of course it was Satan. Yes? And then these people who forced Paul and Silas and Timothy to get out of the city of Thessalonica were in fact their agents. Yes? Now, Satan was of course not pleased with the kind of a progress that the gospel was making through God's servants, and so he tried to destroy that work. And in fact, subsequently, when Paul, Silas, and Timothy tried to return to the city of Thessalonica, who put a stop to that? It was Satan. He hindered their coming back. And so we read in verse 18. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, we read, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. My dear friends, the word of God says Satan hindered us. So these people who drove Paul, Silas, and Timothy out of Thessalonica were only agents of Satan. The person who really, or the being that caused this to happen was none other than Satan. Now I know of one instance in which Satan was hard at work, hindering the work of the gospel. A minister was very, very much engaged in a missions work, which took him away from his home church. And he needed to be with the people in the missions field, the people in the churches in the missions field. And because the people needed him to encourage them, the people there needed him to strengthen them. So he needed to be in the missions field. But while he was out in the missions field, what happened was his strifes were generated in his home church. A mutiny was being organized to have him removed from the church. Can you imagine? The minister was out there ministering, and in his home church there was a mutiny organized to get rid of him. So he had no choice but to very, very quickly separate from the work in the missions field and go back to his home church to make sure that the problems were resolved. The result, of course, was the work out in the missions field was hindered. Hindered by whom? Hindered by these people who tried to engineer the mutiny. Yes, they had become agents of Satan. And the one who was creating the hindrance was, of course, Satan himself. Friends, let us always be aware of the tactics of the evil one. Let us always, therefore, try to do our very, very best to keep the peace of the church. Let us do our very, very best to make sure that everything operates peacefully in the church when our ministers or when our leaders are away from this church. They need your prayer and support. Let us never be made use of by Satan to create strife, disorders in the church, so much so that the work of the Lord would be hindered. Now, let's understand also this truth, that actually the pastor needn't be away for him to be hindered from doing the work of the gospel. He could be in the church, but he still could be hindered from doing the work of the gospel. Now, this can happen. Listen, this can happen when members in the church create strifes and problems that require the pastor and the leaders of the church to spend an inordinate amount of time and energy to try to resolve the problems in the church. Yes, true, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were forcibly taken away from the church at Thessalonica because of this persecution that was raised up against them by the Jews and by the Gentile Thessalonians. And that's true. They were forced to leave because of persecution. As a result of which, of course, they could not minister to the needs of the folks in the city of Thessalonica. They were blocked from doing that. Now, in the church, my dear friends, if you create problems in the church, you could actually be generating the same effect, because you'll be causing the ministers of the church to focus on the problems that you have generated, so much so that he cannot take care of the spiritual needs of the congregation members. So, my dear friends, let us be very, very careful. If we generate problems and cause leaders of the church to shift their attention from meeting the needs, spiritual needs of the congregation members, to try to resolve the problems, you are actually hindering the work of the gospel. You have actually become agents of the evil one. Think about it, my dear friends. Now, it is true, Satan would always try to hinder the work of the gospel. That's true. But let us not be very quick to blame him when we separate ourselves from the fellowship of the saints. Let us not say, Satan hinders me, that's why I couldn't go to church, and so forth. Yes, the truth might be this: you are actually very lazy, very slothful. So on a Sunday morning, you are just too lazy to go to church. Now, if you are lazy and do not want to go to church, don't blame it on Satan. Just admit that you are lazy, slothful, that's why you didn't go to church. Or you could be so full of self. On the Lord's Day, you say, this is the day that I have to enjoy the pleasures that I always want to enjoy. And so you don't go to church. Don't blame it on Satan that you cannot go to church because of him. Admit it. Yes, self is the thing that causes you to be separated from the fellowship of the saints. Self is the thing that causes you to separate yourselves from going to church. Yes. Now, I'm very, very impressed by some visitors from overseas who come to Sydney for a holiday. You know, they make sure that on the Lord's Day, they will come to church dutifully. They will come. They will make sure that they will come to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day, and they will make sure that they come here to fellowship with the saints. So, but let me ask you, my dear friends, would you travel on the Lord's Day for a holiday? In other words, would you start your holiday on the Lord's Day? Would you do that? Good test, my dear friends, whether or not your focus is on the Lord, and that you really do not want to separate yourself from the fellowship of the saints, and you do not want to separate yourself from the fellowship with the one true living God on the Lord's Day. Friends, let's honor him. Let's give him first place in our heart. Let not self hinder us from fellowshipping with the Lord and fellowshipping with the saints. Now let's see the strong desire of Paul, Silas, and Timothy to see the end of the separation from the Thessalonians. All right, they were separated from the Thessalonians. Yes, let's see how desirous they were to end this separation so that they could be reunited with the folks in the city of Thessalonica. Look at verse 17 and verse 18 again. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. See, there was this great desire, strong desire to see the folks in the city of Thessalonica again. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So there was this great desire in the heart of Paul to be reunited with the folks in the city of Thessalonica. Now, from the book of Acts, we know that Paul actually made another trip to the city of Thessalonica, and that took place in his third missionary journey. Yes, they were reunited for sure, and Paul made that third missionary journey and visited the church in the city of Thessalonica. But that was only for a short period of time, because Paul again would have to be separated from them. He would have to move on to do his missions work. Yes, but let's say Paul was able to stay with them for the rest of his life. Would there come a day when a separation would take place? Of course it would take place. One day it would take place. It would take place again when one of the parties went home to be with the Lord. Yes, so the separation would still take place. And when that happens, of course, or when that happened, it would have been very painful. Now, will separation between saints ever end? Yes, let's say we are separated. Will this separation ever end? The answer is yes, of course, it will end. When? One day when we are in the presence of the Lord. When we come into the presence of the Lord, this separation will end. Yes, saints will no longer be separated from one another. And I'm very sure today that Paul and the folks from the city of Thessalonica who came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior through his ministry would have been together. Yes, they would no longer be separated. The separation between them or among them would have ended. Yes, and this would have ended centuries ago. What a day of rejoicing that would have been. And it will surely be a day of super great rejoicing in the future. One day, when Paul and then the members of the church from the city of Thessalonica gathered themselves before the Lord Jesus Christ, before the judgment seat of Christ, clothed with their glorified body. What a great day of rejoicing it will be, particularly for the Apostle Paul. It will really surely be a great, great, great day of super rejoicing. You know why? Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. If you take a look at 1 Thessalonians 2, 19, yes, you will see what a great rejoicing it would be that day for the Apostle Paul. Chapter 2, verse 19. For what is your hope or joy? A crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope or joy, a crown of rejoicing? What is my hope? What is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So on that day, there will be a great super time of a time of super rejoicing on the part of the Apostle Paul for sure. Because the folks who came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry would be his crown of rejoicing. Those would be his trophy. Yes, what a day of rejoicing that would be for him. Now, the saddest separation for us human beings is the separation between loved ones. Isn't that very true? Between loved ones. That's the saddest kind of separation. How sad if your loved one goes and then you don't see your loved one again, ever. Can you imagine that? Your father or your mother passes away, or your son or your daughter passes away, or your husband or wife passes away, and you say, I don't see you again. Never, ever. How sad it will be. But this separation need not be permanent. If all parties, you and your loved ones, are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that separation will end one day in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That is applicable to you, applicable to your loved one, if both of you are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day of rejoicing that will be. So, my dear friends, if your loved one is still outside the kingdom of God, I urge you to really, really sincerely pray for your loved one. Urgently, pray for your loved one. Pray that your loved one will come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So that if there should be a parting now or anytime soon or in the future, you know that one day you will come together again. The separation will terminate. So, how do you feel when you are separated from the fellowship of this church? Personally, I feel very responsible for the spiritual well-being of this church. And therefore, when I'm away, I feel that I shouldn't be away from this church for too long a period of time. The Lord will hold me responsible if the church goes astray because of my negligence. But I would urge you, my dear friends, to build up yourselves in the most holy faith through your in-depth study of the Word of God, so that you'll be very, very steadfast in the faith, so that you will not be swayed by every wind and doctrine. You'll be very steadfast in the most holy faith, whether the preacher is around or whether he's not around. How do you feel when you are separated from this church? I hope you feel the pain of being separated from this church, and that you would indeed miss the preaching of this church, that you miss the feeding of this church, you miss the fellowship of this church, and you miss your opportunities to serve in this church. But friends, I trust also at the same time, you will very, very quickly find a good Bible-believing church to worship in, to fellowship in, and to serve in. And remember, the most painful separation that you can ever experience is separation from the one true living God. If you do not repent from your sins, you are still outside of the kingdom of God. You are separated from the one true living God. And when you pass away from this earth, you continue to be separated from Him. And that is the most painful kind of separation, because you are separated from Him and you are going to end up in the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. But friends, you need not continue to be separated from Him if you are separated from Him. Come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. Yes, receive the Lord into your heart. Ask for His precious blood to cleanse you of your sins. And when you sincerely did that, my dear friends, you will be reconciled to Him. Yes, you will not be separated from Him anymore. Now, another very painful separation, as we said, is separation between loved ones, when one of the loved ones dies. But that separation need not be permanent if all are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, I urge you once again to earnestly pray for your loved one who is not a believer in the Lord. Pray that he or she will come to trust in Him, so that your separation from your loved one will not be something that is permanent. It's only temporary, because that separation will end when you come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that in accordance to your mercies and your will, you have caused us to be reconciled to you, so that today we are no longer separated from you. Father, we thank you for this church that you have raised up. We thank you for the feeding that we have received from this church. We thank you, O Lord God, also for the good fellowship that we have here. We thank you also for the opportunities for us to serve you. Father, we pray that if we are separated from this church, we may not just lament that we miss the good things that we have here, but friends, we would very, very quickly find a good church to worship in. And Father, we want to also pray for loved ones who are still outside your kingdom. We pray, O Lord God, that we may care for them, and help us to understand that if they do not repent, our separation from them when they pass from this earth will be something that is permanent. We will never ever see them again. Father, we pray that you will give us this understanding, and we pray that we may earnestly pray for them so that they will turn to you and receive you as Lord and Savior and be saved. And Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We pray that we may learn your word well, and we pray that we may love you well, serve you well, so that when you come again, we may all not be found wanting, but we may be able to hear you say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.